place you were this morning. Same place I preached from this morning. I'm testing you. See who remembers. Who remembers? Let's see your hand. Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Good job. That surprised me. I thought there might be one or two. I didn't realize that many remember. I'm not going to preach the same thing this as I did this morning. Next time you can keep her locked up. I won't even tell you next time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Begin reading with me, if you would, in verse 6. I saw that this morning and it struck some thoughts in my mind. Verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. Now note this. Note this in verse 8. In other words, didn't just take food from them free of charge. And it says, wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power. In other words, they don't have authority. He said, I've got authority. I could tell you that you ought to give me something to eat. He said, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he what?
Eat.
For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are what?
Busybodies.
I know some people right now. They act like they're too sick to work, but they're in everybody's business. Running around, got their nose stuck, everything. Look in verse 12. Not them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat what? Their own bread. Tonight I want to share with you some thoughts concerning entitlement. Being entitled. Some people, you know, they show in San Francisco and some of those places over there, they're being overrun with tents everywhere. People sleeping, urinating, defecating out on the streets. Nasty. Shop owners can't even open their shop. Then you got these running around, oh, feed the poor. Most of them have chosen that lifestyle. And they do it. Even some of them do it. Some people chooses to go and be by themselves and do their own thing, even to the point of starving a little bit. But they choose that lifestyle. Then you have others that can't find work at times, and I know sometimes it's hard. I remember one time I got laid off on a strike when I was working at Tecumseh. And I went out to the farmers, and I got the hay and the tobacco. I cut tobacco. I hauled in hay every day, paid our electric bills, paid our house payment, all the bills that we had. It wasn't easy, but we worked night and day to do that. Some people, at times, I know work sometimes gets scarce. But then I also know sometimes people physically are not able to work. But the Bible speaks of those being slothful. Slothful means lazy, habitually idle. The Bible says in Proverbs, keep your finger there, but look if you would in Proverbs chapter 18. And those of you would, the Bible says in verse number 9, He also that is slothful, that means lazy, means habitually idle. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is what? A great waster. You know why they waste it? Because they don't work for it. It's a whole lot easier to waste it. Sometime back, they went down to, there was a hurricane came in to Louisiana. And President Obama decided to give everybody $2,000 or $3,000 credit cards. They run to the casinos and run to Kmart's and Walmart's and they just spend them like crazy. Wasted a lot of money. Sometimes you'll see them come through and just waste money. I'll never forget my Uncle Jack. Now, you know Jack. This was before he actually got his heart right with God. I'll never forget there was a food line over here. And he was in line. First of all, he said he drove up and he started to pull in this parking spot. I'll tell this since he's dead. And he started pulling in the parking spot and this car just pulled and jerked right in front of him and blocked him from getting a parking spot even though he was there first. And said this big guy got out, had a shirt about 3 inches from his belt to his belly showing, and said, didn't say I'm sorry, didn't say nothing. He said, I was already mad. Went in there, and he said, I got ready to check out. And he said, he got right in front of me with his cart. Made me mad again. And he said, I looked, and he had it full. And he wanted to buy some cigarettes. And he pulled out food stamps. And she told him, so you can't, and so he said, number one, he was driving a better car than I was. But number two, he pulled out food stamps and he said, she said, you can't buy this dog food and you can't get your cigarettes. He said, well, I'll just go back here and I'll feed the dog steak. I'm not working for it. And he said, that really burnt me up. And so he got in there and he said, he went, and I had to wait in line while he went and got, took the dog food back, and sure enough, he brought steak up there. He said, my blood pressure was boiling. And he said about that time, he was complaining about not getting enough food stamps. Then he said a few choice words. I don't know what all he said. I wouldn't even want to know. And he said, about that time, I climbed a straddle of him, and I hit him. and not that I'm promoting that, but he said it made me sick. He said here he was shopping on our money, driving a better car than me, not working anywhere, and complaining the whole time because of what he did, and just taking this meat and wasting it. As a matter of fact, he told her, I may just take it out and throw it in the middle parking lot. Or he told Jack that, I think, when Jack told him he was so ungrateful for what he's getting. And I think that's when Jack kind of stepped on top of him or something. But anyway, the point being, people that doesn't work for it don't appreciate it. It's easy to waste something when somebody just keeps handing it. And let me tell you, parents, you do your children no good by just handing money to them all the time. Let them work for it. Let them learn to work. Now, you say, is this going to be a political? No, the Bible says much about this subject, and God has a reason to say this. And by the way, let me say this. When you're able to work and you don't work, number one, you don't love your neighbor. Because what you do is you want to take what he does. Think about this scenario. Young man grows up, never gets a job, depends on his mom and dad, hand him everything. He wants to stay home, let him pay the bills, let them take care of his bills. Wants to sit around playing video games, do things like that. Another one goes, he gets out of his mom and dad's house, goes to college, he works two jobs to pay his way through college. He gets out, he gets a good job, he begins to work, makes some money. Then you have that guy wanting to take his money Because he feels privileged and entitled. Now, what's right about that? Somebody said, well, they're rich. Well, if they earned it, inherited it, that's their money. Now, the Bible says a lot of things about rich people. They'll have to deal with those issues. But if it's their money, it's their money. It's not yours and it's not mine. And so, therefore, I shouldn't be and feel entitled to somebody else's money. I'll be honest with you. Our last president pushed this idea of entitlement on all these other groups of people. And so they got believing that they were entitled to everything that somebody else had, they're entitled to it. And now, not only that, but listen, young people, now listen to me. You'll never develop your talents if you won't get out there and work and exercise your talents. You'll never find what you're able to do, and many of you are able to do a whole lot of things. And number three, you avoid responsibilities that God has placed upon you. Now, let's look just a few moments. One of my favorite movies was always Errol Flynn. Some of you probably seen it. Ever since I've been watching it, that's been one of my favorite movies. But it's one thing for him to rob the rich and give the poor. It's another thing for this liberal bunch in Washington, what they want to do. Entitlement means this. Condition having a right, feeling that you have a right to have, to do, or get something. Feeling that you believe you deserve something. Financial help provided by the government for particular groups. And man, we've got a lot of people like that. We got makers and takers. And boy, some of them don't care a bit to take. Now, let me say this. Entitlement programs, and I'll say this and I'll get on with my message. Entitlement programs is a doorway into socialism. What they want you to do is they want you to be dependent upon the government. And then if the government keeps, you know, in President Obama's tenure, 49% of Americans was drawing food stamp, not counting all the ones that were not even Americans drawing food stamp. When you start getting where you got more takers than makers, you have to start borrowing money to pay for it. That's why he borrowed more money under his administration than every president before him in the history of America. Because what he was doing was he was teaching people to learn and be entitled. He was opening the door for this socialism movement. That's why you got so many of these folks running today on the one side of the ticket, and they're socialist. They want to give free this, free that, free this, free that, and yet what they want is they want people that wants to receive the free stuff want somebody else to work and pay for it. Nothing is free in life. Now, let me go on and say this. Socialism is a plague. And as the dependent population grows, then the productive population declines. And soon you get where one can't supply the other one. And your economy collapses. I thank God that we had a man with a backbone of President Trump to come in and help turn some things around in this country. But now let's look back in just a moment and follow with me in the Bible just a few minutes. And let me take you to a few places in the Bible to show you some things that God says about being work and slothful. One time I was over here at school, I'll tell this on Diane since she's here, and I said, I used the word slothful. I read a little verse. I said, does anybody know what that means? Reagan raised her hand. She said, that means be lazy. Says, my dad's slothful. I said, I'll be sure and let him know. But anyway, look if you would in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 2. Stay with me just a minute. I want to take you through about 5 or 6 verses, and I want to share with you a thought. Young people, I want you to listen very carefully. And by the way, while you're turning, let me say this, because this is important. Sometime I'm going to preach a message on poor. Poor is not everybody who has their hand stuck out. We have gobs of people that comes and bums off the churches all the time that's not poor, they're bums. There's a difference. Or they're cons. Now, let me say this because it's important. Many churches, and a lot of big churches, doesn't go out and try to take the gospel to a dying world anymore through missionaries and going through missions. They've turned missions into handing free food, free clothes, and things that's no burden to them. They just buy it and give it because they've got some people's got some money. It's no effort to them, and they give it, and their parking lot's full whenever they hand them out. And most of the people that receives it, they come, they're on welfare, they're on food stamps, they don't go to church anywhere, and they take, and they never give another thought about it. And many of them are very capable of working, but yet they don't work. God nowhere instructs us to do that. They are some poor, and we're always going to have some poor with us. And there are some people that's poor in America that shouldn't be. But there are some families that are poor. We kept foster boys, two of them, for about 15 years, Ray and Larry. They were of a family of 13. And they sat there and they slept in two beds. And the store owner down to the bottom of their hill said that they would let them little boys come in and steal food because they knew they had no food to eat. And they'd go in there and steal. And he said, I'd see them stealing, but I let them steal because they were so hungry. We got a couple other little boys one night. And I can't remember how many, maybe some of you all can, how many packs of donuts and stuff. Dad drove a Kearns truck, remember that? And they got up in the middle of the night and ate. They ate, I forget how many dozen packs of donuts and food and cakes. They wasn't used to eating, wasn't used to having food. Now, there are such things as being poor. And there is a Christian duty to help the poor. But there is not a Christian duty to help the slothful and the lazy and the con. That's why Paul said, a man that won't work, let him go hungry. I had a guy when I was working down in the basement of church, he come up behind me and didn't see him come in. He come behind me, he spoke, and I turned around, kind of startled a little bit. He said, I'm hungry and I need some money. He said, I'm willing to work. I said, good, grab your hammer. Let's go to work for a while. I turned around, he's heading out the outdoor. He didn't want work. He wanted a handout. Now, look if you would in Genesis chapter 2. Notice if you would in verse number 15. This is in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says, and the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to do what? Dress and keep it. Now this was before thorns and briars and so forth. But God didn't want a freeloader even when Adam was in his perfect position. He didn't want a freeloader in the Garden of Eden. He had responsibility for Adam to do even before he caused briars and thistles and sin come upon the world. Adam had a job to do in there. Now look if you would in chapter 3. Then in chapter 3 in verse 19 when he cursed man, he cursed a woman, he cursed the earth and so forth. Look what he said in verse 19. In the sweat of thy face shall thou what? Eat bread till thou what? For out of it wast thou taken, and thou art, for dust thou art, and to death thou shalt return. You know what he's saying there? You work till you die. And he said, you don't just work, you sweat. The last couple of days, we put on yard sale, and I had changed clothes three times. One day, sweaty, just sopping wet. And, you know, sometimes you got to work. Whether you like it or not, you got to work. Guys, learn to work. Don't be sorry that wants to have your hand stuck out for everybody else to give you something. Understand that? No woman wants a sorry man. You follow me?
Amen.
You want to make something of yourself? Make something of yourself. I don't know of any of you guys around here that doesn't have talent and ability to grow up and do something and make something yourself. Many of you already have. Many of you already willing to work, willing to do things. Those I haven't, you need to learn. Let me show you why. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 128. Psalms chapter 128. Listen to these verses as we go through real quickly. Psalms 128. Look, if you would, in verse number 2. For thou shalt eat the what?
Labor
what? Of thine hands. You eat the labor of your hands, not somebody else's. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be what? Well with thee. In other words, he said, what you need to do is you need to learn to be satisfied with your work. You know what? Somebody may look at me and say, I don't have much, and somebody else may look and say, I have a lot. But I can look you in the face and say this: what I got, I earned. I didn't ask nobody for it, and I've worked for it. I worked 3 jobs for many, many years, 4 sometimes. And sometimes I think I probably did wrong in some of that. But I worked. And I worked, and I don't mind. I'll give it if you need it, but I want nobody come and try and take it. Woke up the other day and someone come and tried to take a vehicle from my house, a little four-wheeler. I think Susie, somebody took one from her house. You know why they like to steal them? So they don't have to work and earn it. Buy it. Whole lot easier to steal it than it is to work for it. I don't mind if somebody needs something, but don't come try and steal stuff that I've worked for. I don't care what it is. Even if I'm fixing to throw it away, I don't mind giving it to you, but I don't want you to steal it. There's just a principle involved. But I can get up a morning, guys, and I can look myself in the mirror, and I'm not ashamed of the mirror that I'm looking in, because somebody else didn't put that mirror in front of my face. I did. With the Lord's help. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to leave him out of the picture. But what I'm saying is, and some people have been blessed to have some help from family, and some people have been able where they just had to do it on their own. Nothing wrong with those. Look, if you would, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. But there's something satisfactory about knowing that you worked, and the food you're eating and the seat you're sitting on, you earned. There's a sense of pride, good pride, in that. Chapter 5. Look, if you would, in verse 12, Ecclesiastes. The sleep of a laboring man is what?
Sweet.
Rather eat a little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. In other words, I've said this for a long time. Bunch of these cities says, how can we cut down on crime rate? I tell you what. Quit giving food stamps, let them go out and go hungry, or let them find a job and work. And if they work all day, they don't want to run around all night long. Last couple nights, I've worked, and whenever I hit the bed, how long did it take me to go to sleep?
I don't know.
Oh, she don't know. 5 minutes at the most. You know why? When you work all day and you lay your head down, Rick, you go sleep, don't you? You don't sit up all night long playing games. You go sleep. And it's sweet. You're able to sleep. Not only that, look, if you would, back in Proverbs. I believe it's chapter 26 I want to go to, but let me check, make sure if that's the verse I'm thinking about. Yes, chapter 26, Proverbs. Look, if you would, in verse number 13. The slothful man, there's that slothful again, and by the way, it'd be a good idea to do a good study of slothful. The slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way, a lion is in the street. You know what he's saying there? He has an excuse for not doing something that he should be doing. Instead of working and finding work, he said, well, I can't go out there. There's a line out there in my way. Anything to say to get out of job. Verse 14. As a door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. You know why he can't sleep? He lays in water all the time because he's not wore his body out. You wear your body out, you go to sleep when you go to bed. Look in verse 15. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it out to his mouth. Lazy. Wants somebody else to do it for him. Look if you would in verse 6. A sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render reason. In other words, even a slugger is better than a slothful man. That's all he's got is full of excuses. Folks, don't be full of excuses. Excuse is a loose apology for doing something and not doing something. A reason is a justifiable cause that you can't do it. I don't know many of you young people right now that has reasons why you can't work. You might have excuses for not working, but I don't know why you have reasons to not work. I know many of you work, and you work different things. Now, I know you can't hold a job permanently and all that, going to school, but what I'm saying is when you're called upon to work, you ought to work. Don't go standing around being lazy. Nobody wants that. And by the way, people won't want to hire you if that's what you do. Look on. Look, if you would, in Proverbs chapter 24. There's a curse to laziness. You know what your curse is when you're lazy? Look, if you would, in chapter 24. Look in verse 32. He said, then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, folding hands sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. In other words, he said this. What will happen to you is this. Somebody said, well, I'm kind of envious of what other people has. Well, it's easy to do that, to be envious of what people has, especially when you don't work for yourself. As a matter of fact, look, if you would, I believe it's in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I may be wrong in this, but let me look real quickly. In chapter 4, I believe it's verse 5, but let's see. No, that's not. Oh, verse 4, I guess it is. Chapter 4, verse 4, Ecclesiastes. It says, again, I considered all travail and every right work that for this man is envied of his neighbor. In other words, a man who went out to work, that worked hard, he's envied of his neighbor. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. In other words, they're sitting there, they're watching you do the work, work hard, you do certain things, and you have certain things, then they're envious of you because you've got it. Cure for laziness. Look, if you would, in Proverbs chapter 20. I'm going to take you one more scripture, and I'm going to close. Proverbs chapter 20. Look, if you would, in verse 4. Verse 4 says, a slugger will not plow by what? Reason of the cold. Therefore shall he what? And have what? Parents, you know what would do your children good if you can't get them to work? When they come in for supper, set an empty plate in front of them. Let them think about it a minute. Let them go hungry a time or two. Somebody said, that's cruel. No, what's cruel is raising your child to be a lazy and then sticking him in a home where he won't even provide for his home. That's what's cruel. Because then the spouse suffers and the children suffer too. And by the way, that applies to women too. You know, I told in Sunday school class this morning, we was dealing with marriage and so forth. I said it's important as well, pick out someone with the same interests and someone that's got the same characteristics. If you got someone who works herself to death and you got someone else who's lazy, that don't make a very happy home. There's some characteristics you need to step up to. Now, folks, you say, why Preacher, do you deal with that? The Bible says a man that will not provide for his own household is worse than an infidel. And as Paul said, a man that won't work, don't let him eat. Young people and older people as well, but you all got a chance coming into it. I want you to change your frame of mind if you got where you learn to work. Work is good. Learn skills. Step out there. Try to learn things. When you learn how to drive a nail, when you learn how to pour concrete, when you learn how to do certain things, it will follow you the rest of your life and it'll be a help to you.
Right.
When you learn how to build something Amen. With your own hands, those things are important. And so tonight, I know tonight's been more of just a kind of a teaching, but it's important. Because in this country right now, we've been so blessed with the system that's been set here, but we are so close. Had we not got had things continued on the same trend, and had President Trump not been elected, we would be so close at this point in time to socialism. It is not funny if we were not already over the border in it. And so you've got to recognize and understand the importance. And listen, I just showed you a few verses. The Word of God is full of teachings. And if it wasn't important, God wouldn't have put it in there. But He wants us to know that, amen? Let's stand, if you would.